From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters. Please note that this episode contains a vivid description of an assault.
It's dead, Jeff. My aunt has died. I've been trapped in this cavern for maybe 3 days. I went home after it got dark. I left the ant pacing, and when I came back this morning, it was dead. It's curled up, and it hasn't moved in hours.
My friend Jacob Lemansky called me a few months ago. He wanted some advice on the problem he was having. I didn't help him out with it, though. I figured he'd get better results if he just worked through it himself. So I told him to get off the phone with me and to just start recording his thoughts as they came to him.
I built this ant farm like 6 years ago as an adult. You know, I was like 26 or 27 when I made this thing. I built it myself out of two pieces of plexiglass I got from work. The two plates of glass are about a quarter inch apart, and the whole thing is maybe 3 feet wide and maybe 20 inches tall. I have it in a deep black frame, and behind the ant farm I have LEDs that shine through, and there's a blue matting in the back, so it looks like sky. You know, these ants that are in here right now, I gathered them up just a couple weeks ago from a giant ant hill south of town. I gathered the ants and I gathered dirt just from right there with the ants, and I put them all in here and leaned it up against the wall and watched them dig, and like there's no planning. They just dig, and then they're making tunnels all over the place. I think what people don't realize about ant farms is that it changes constantly. You know, I have it in a picture frame. It's a work of art. So I've been watching, and a couple days ago, they had built this tunnel, and they built a cavern. It's like the size of a quarter, but it's shaped more like a triangle with the point upwards. And then the tunnel collapsed, and all the ants had cleared out of there except for one. And it got stuck in there. I noticed it, and it's, you know, it just was pacing back and forth, and it would try to climb the dirt walls, but they're overhung, and it would fall off, and it would try to climb the glass, but would fall off of that too. So the ants above it are just, they're just an inch away, but they didn't even know it was there. I got ants because they're no responsibility. Put a little sugar in the top, it's no big deal. But now I feel like this great burden of responsibility for this trapped ant. And I thought it died yesterday, but it just was sleeping for a long time. And I thought I could help it too. I could, you know, put a stick down there and poke a hole and let him out. It's, you know, that's not out of my control. But I didn't. I watched this ant pace back and forth and back and forth, and then it would sleep, and then it would wake up, and it was hopeless. And I had the question, am I a benevolent God to these ants? Am I passive? Turns out I'm a non-reactive God. I'm passive. I put things in motion and I stand back to watch. When they die, they get brought up to the surface and just laid there. Usually they bring them up in pieces, which is kind of morbid to see an ant carrying another ant head. But not this guy. No one will ever touch him. I have to let him be ants. They're gonna tunnel. These tunnels collapse. They know it. They're making their own choice to do it. Well, he's moving. I just saw him move. His little leg twitched. I was kind of content to see him dead and that was the end of the story, but now he's moving again. And I gotta question it all over again.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about...
You know, it was my fault from the beginning.
The podcast about...
The unknown.
My first ant farm was an Uncle Milton's ant farm, just like the regular Toy Story ant farm. I had set it up, I got ants... in the mail. They send like 25 of them, put them in there, and they were digging, and after a few days of that, I went out in the yard, and I found more ants. I got eggs. I picked up the eggs, and I put maybe 20 eggs into my ant farm, and for like 2 weeks, they moved those eggs back and forth, and they all started hatching. Ants, they don't get along. They'll fight if they're from different colonies. These eggs weren't from the same colony, so these like baby ants started to fight the ants that were established there. Like a war broke out, and I was probably like 8 years old, and I remember like running home from school so I could watch this battle unfold in my ant farm. And I remember after like 2 or 3 days, just everything was dead. It was just like total annihilation. I remember one of the larger ants running up the little ant hill with two of the baby ants, like biting it. They're like latched onto it, and at the top of the hill, it just died. I wouldn't do that now, though. I feel like I have more compassion for him now, but not so much to rescue this guy. Yeah, I kind of feel like heavy in my heart about it, but I'm just gonna let that ant die. It's just nature's way. Oh, his leg twitched again. I was just about to say I'm pretty sure he's dead. He's really close to dead. It's like death throes. There's a day when I was biking in South Africa. I stopped at a park for... I was just taking a break for lunch. And... The park was it's right on the coast, like the ocean was across from the park, but the park was kind of like up a little valley that went perpendicular away from the ocean, and it was a little gravel track, maybe a couple hundred yards long. There's some trees around, the grass was cut around the road, and then there was just a turnaround at the end, and there was there's a couple workers cutting grass or something, like right at the entrance. And then there was no one else in the park. And I went to the back and I sat under a tree in the shade, you know, got out my lunch, probably playing guitar. As I sat there, a car drove up and was going fast and went up to the turnaround and stopped. And it was a couple. The guy was driving and they were fighting. And they got out and were screaming at each other, and they were, you know, they were getting pretty violent, like slapping, like all open hand hitting, and You know, she was hitting back a little bit, but mostly he was slapping her. And they didn't see me, but like I could see them. And I watched, and I didn't do anything. And you know, she ran from him, and you know, he ran and tackled her. Yeah, he was irate, and she was really angry too. Like she was yelling right back at him. And he had something in his hand, and they were too far away. I couldn't see what it was. And he would raise it like he's going to hit her with it, and she would really cower because it, like whatever it was really going to hurt. But he wouldn't hit her with it, and I didn't know what it was, and. You know, I feared for my own safety a little as well if I went over there. I'm not brave in that way. Eventually he grabbed her by the hair and pulled her to the car and closed her in the passenger seat, and he went around to the driver's side, and they, you know, sped out of there. And the whole thing was, you know, it was probably 1 minute that they were there fighting. And I don't think me intervening could have done much at all of, you know, for them in their situation. But in the moment, you know, maybe it could have helped her. I have a lot of shame that I didn't do anything. I feel sad about it. But also, you know, I accept it, and it's all right. I'll learn from it. I'm just sitting like this isn't my nature. Like this is kind of who I am as a person, and I'm just pretty well accepting of that. So it doesn't bother me that these were my decisions. Obviously it does bother me if I'm talking about it like this. Actually, you know, whatever the next time is, like, I hope I make the other decision. I don't know. I think I got it wrong twice. It's done. That Anna's dead. You know, it was my fault from the beginning. I created this little world for him. I collected the ants. I placed them in here. You know, I set the whole thing in motion, and it's just the way it is. They're all gonna die in here. Set things in motion, and then just watch. You know, like. Really, I'm not passive. I gathered these ants. I put them in this situation, and then I let this one die. And that's like, that goes from being passive to really like, I created the whole situation. And I just let this ant die here just for my own entertainment, I guess. Even that's why I have these things, just for entertainment. And I thought I was good. I thought I would be a good god. I did just feed them, like, pure cane sugar. You know, they got to dig, Their life wasn't bad once I had them. Except for this one. She's just dead in that cavern. Maybe it wasn't so good for her. I always thought I was nice to him. I'll let you know if they uncover him. I'll see if I can read any of their emotions. It'd be like finding a buried mummy or something like that.
Jacob Lemansky's dead aunt was never recovered. After it died, it sat there in that cavern for several days until the ceiling fell in. Over several weeks, the rest of the colony slowly ceased digging as their population dwindled, because Jacob had never given them their queen. You know, several years ago, Jacob Lemansky told me that he was aspiring in life to become a sophisticate. But when I asked him about this just last week, he told me that sophistication isn't actually that great after all. And nowadays, he just rides his bike and builds ant farms. He has a company. It's called Ant Life. You can find his beautiful, handmade wooden ant colonies online at antlife.space. We also have a link to Ant Life on our website, which is hbmpodcast.com. There, you'll also see a time-lapse video of Jacob's ants digging in the dirt. Again, we're hbmpodcast.com. My name is Jeff Entman, and I produced this episode. I had help from Bethany Denton. Music came from The Black Spot. Here Be Monsters is a part of KCRW's independent producer project. Our editor there is Nick White.
You know, put a stick down there and poke a hole and let him out.
Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.
While I'm on the subject of ants, I'll tell you a story. When I was camping in Central America, there were leafcutter ants around. And I would come across these trails of leafcutter ants and just thousands and thousands of ants. And they're carrying little bits of leaves like the size of fingernails. And they were cool. And I would look at them. And then I would hang my hammock somewhere and go to sleep. And on three times this happened, those leafcutter ants climbed up the tree where I was, crawled onto the bug mesh, which I kept over my hammock, and they would cut holes in my hammock and, take my bug mesh away. And I guess they thought it was leaves that they could eat. I'm not sure. And then I'd have to get up and get my sewing kit, and I would sew the bug mesh of my hammock, like, under the moonlight or under my headlamp. You know, sometimes it would be an hour before I could get all these holes sewed. And then I'd go back to sleep, and that was... just kind of like an interesting Central American jungle camping experience.